This is Top Turnbuckle on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Rob Wong and Rudy Blair. And the WWE is back in the city of Toronto tonight at Ricoh Coliseum for WWE Live. Kicks off at 7:30. All of your top superstars going to be there. Well, some of them anyways, including The Shield, Kane, Bray Wyatt, and our next guest, the show off, the one and only Dolph Ziggler, joining us here on Top Turnbuckle. How's it going, Dolph?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. And we imagine it's a pretty busy day for you. How has it been so far being here in Toronto once again?
It's been great so far, but it is going to be a long, busy day. But the most important part is getting the word out to this great show. The Toronto fans are always great. We're always nearly sold out, and we're all looking forward to putting on a great show tonight.
Dolph, it's Rudy Blair here. Last time you and I had a chance to speak, I think it was about maybe a year and a half ago when we did it in person. And, of course, this was just before you had won the World Championship. And if you remember our conversation, the folks here, we were all rooting for you because we knew there was at some point in time that belt was going to be around your waist. Sad to say, of course, belt not around your waist. What is exactly going on with your career these days? Because it almost seems like it's sort of stalled a bit because we're still hoping and waiting to see that you're going to get another run at the championship, especially how things have changed up. Is it going to happen? What exactly is going on with your career with the WWE?
Well, that's a great question. You sound like my mother-in-law, but I don't really have one. But the it is, you know, you can't have peaks without valleys, and I guess you can't always be up on top. And you know, Daniel Bryan had a nice slow rise to the top to become WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Of course, last year, a lot of people were, you know, even as a bad guy, everyone was waiting for this cash-in and for this, obvious, you know, it just made sense to be champion, and it didn't last very long, unfortunately. But right now, it's about, I've said this before, it's whether you have 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, you find a way to stand out, and without the fan support, I'd have nothing right now. And it's so cool that someone who basically loses every single week somehow finds a way to stand out and has the crowd behind me, and I'm so grateful for it because it changes every single match that I'm in, and I'm really looking forward to this Monday because with Hugh Jackman coming back, we have a history together that's going to give me a chance to not only step in the ring on Monday Night Raw, it's going to give me a chance to possibly get on the microphone, and which is hilariously something that I'm told I'm not good at by a lot of people, but it's one of the things that I really excel at, which is really funny. So the best part of it is taking every little thing that I've ever grasped at and made it is, you know, as best as I possibly could. And I guarantee on Monday, if I get a chance to do that, I will go above and beyond. And perhaps it's the start of something big for something for me and Damian Sandow.
Let's talk about the Hugh Jackman thing for a second, because we all remember the last time Wolverine was in a WWE ring coming down with Zack Ryder. He gave you a bit of a shot to the jaw, a little hairline fracture there, but it seems like, you know, maybe a little water under the bridge over the last little bit, as we saw on Twitter last week.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like, he was such a great sport that day. He was willing to go above and beyond, and it's so great when you have guest hosts like that. So hopefully he'll have learned his lesson and iced his hand and he'll be okay. And hopefully bygones be bygones. And maybe, you know, he's this multi-talented superstar and I am as well. And maybe we can kind of team up, kind of put Damian Sandow in his place, which is not only just great to have him on TV because Damian Sandow is so good and he's someone who I trained with a long time ago, but it's someone who I just could care less for personally. So it's nice to have this chance to let everyone see on TV how much better I am than him.
You know, I've had the chance to interview Hugh Jackman. He's a big boy. I mean, people don't realize. I mean, he's got height and he's got size on him. But to be honest with you, I want to see you knock him out, man.
I kind of thought about it every single day for the last 2.5 years, kind of. And but now I feel like I'm in a place where with him coming back, and if he's, you know, happy to be a part of anything that I'm doing, I can let it go. But you know how this business works. One day people like you, one day they don't. So it's what have you done for me lately? So I'm looking forward to it. I'm not walking in, you know, with flowers and a handshake for him, but I'm gonna size him up when I see him.
You know, you talked about, you know, the losing streak that you've been on recently, and obviously the fan support, the massive fan support that you continue to receive night in and night out. you know, we hear all the time, whether it's wrestlers or athletes or, you know, just people in everyday life, you know, they talk about when they go through adversity, you know, they learn something about themselves in the worst of times. It's obviously been a tough, you know, 12 months for you with injuries and obviously the losing. You know, what have you kind of learned about yourself over the last little bit here for you?
Well, I'd like to say that it was the last little bit, but basically for the last 6 years or so, I think I've lost about 98% of the time. So the fact that in this business you can somehow still be successful and have crowds constantly wanting you to be successful, which is so great, but I'm just not necessarily in the title picture, which I usually am one way or another. That being said, I'm constantly finding a way to be on the show and take advantage, such as the WWE app or social media or any chance I get, or even like a media day like today where it's a chance to get the word out about our WWE live event. No matter what, at the end of the day, whether it's hard to not be in the title picture or not, I know how good I am at this job, and the fans respect that more than anything, and it's so great to knowing that whether you're someone who loses all the time or whether you're someone who's not even in the title picture and you know when you come out to the ring, you're going to get a great reaction. It's all because of the fans and their support.
You know, everybody always wants to be world champion. Of course, you want to be in that title picture. But what about the other championships or even maybe tagging up with somebody? Because when you look at the tag team division, no disrespect to any of the superstars there, but it always seems to be sort of weak. And we're always looking for some kind of team to really help vamp it back up. I mean, have you given any thoughts about that or the U.S. title? I mean, the U.S. title is almost like, do we still have a U.S. title? And the Intercontinental title, it just seems to be the titles aren't, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, not as respected as maybe it was in the past.
I'm going to answer your 24-part question in I'm going to start with 24A. Of course. Sometimes, you don't get that recognition for the U.S. title or Intercontinental title, but if you'll notice in the last 2 weeks, the Intercontinental title has gone from something that, like, oh, it's cool, Big E has it, and it's a stepping stone to the gold circle of WWE, but now it seems all of a sudden to be gaining that momentum to be that much more important, and I'm sure at some point we'll see that with the United States title, but as of right now, you know, Dean Ambrose and The Shield, they're very busy, you know, with a group of people, Evolution. So I've never counted out having a tag partner or any of the other titles, but I see myself as a singles competitor because I have so much to offer and I can help other people out in the ring. So one way or another, any type of title match. I was really excited to have that match with Bad News Barrett 2 weeks ago because I knew he's someone who's really hungry and has been out for a while and is getting a second chance. And nothing wrong with getting a second chance, and me and him tore it down, and I hope he goes out and wins the tournament.
Yeah, and he's been incredible over the last little while, ever since he became, you know, Bad News Barrett and showing what he can do on the mic. I mean, he's been a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, it's interesting because there is sort of this underground movement for guys like him, guys for, you know, that are wanting to see you take it to the next level. And we saw, obviously, the slow rise that you mentioned that Daniel Bryan has had. I mean, does that kind of give you hope? And not even just yourself, but to other guys on the roster that, you know, hey, you know, we're getting huge fan support. It's only going to be a matter of time until we're back in, you know, that title picture.
You like to think that. And that's what it's something with that fan support always has you where you could one day just, that could be your day and you're back in the mix. Yeah, especially with NXT guys coming in, you know, with vignettes and packages and everyone knows them already from their television show. It's a lot to compete with. And they have a great start as WWE superstars with someone like a Bad News Barrett who was gone for a while. And it's funny when people talk like Bad News Barrett or like a Cesaro and say like, oh, I'm so glad he's, you know, starting to get it, or it's kind of cool that we're starting to get behind him. Like, those guys have been good for 10 years. Cesaro for years has been good, and he's finally getting a shot, and I'm really happy for him. But one way or another, whether it's fan support or, you know, management support, it's all about having the diversity of the different superstars and having the fans, you know, get behind them and see who they like or don't like. And one way or another, if they don't like you, you're going to be out.
Is there anybody in particular that you would love to do a run with, somebody who you think can bring a lot of heat, a lot of excitement to the next couple of Raws or in-house shows?
I'm a big fan of Cesaro, and I don't know him personally very well. But I know that he's good at his job and works hard to be better than other people at it. And I absolutely respect that. So I would love to get into some type of long-term match and or program with someone like a Cesaro, who is so good, constantly thinking, and he would challenge me to go above and beyond and outdo myself. And the two of us outdoing each other, I believe, would be a masterpiece of a match.
It's funny, you talked, you know, earlier about, you know, the supposed belief that you're not very good on the mic, you know, yet you do some stand-up stuff, and that's something that's always intrigued me. I mean, I didn't know for the longest time until, you know, I started following you on Twitter a while back and then, you know, saw that you were having these shows. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that and how that kind of began for you?
I've just been a fan my whole life, and I've always been an entertainment fan, and, the last 5, 6, 7 years, I've been writing, you know, every day that I can. And now with Twitter, I can try out jokes, you know, several jokes a day and just have fun with it and try out material and little bits. But it's all about having fun, entertaining, getting on the mic and owning it. And it's really fun that, you know, I get a chance on the app or stand-up shows to go out there. And usually, you know, people are not just surprised. They're just like, oh, yeah, you're really good. It's understood. And it's funny that I have like that stigma kind of internet-wise that, you know, I'm not good, because that I would understand if I go, you know what, I really need to work on it, but nah, I'm really good at it.
You know, I'm curious about that, sort of the differences between wrestling and being a stand-up comic, because you hear sometimes, you know, from stand-up comedians, and you know, when it goes bad, it's the loneliest feeling on earth. And I don't know if you can compare it to maybe having a bad match and, you know, ending up on, you know, say Botchamania on YouTube or something, but you know, what's that like, you know, being alone by yourself on the stage, and you know, it's either going to go one way or the other. There's really no in between.
Yeah. It's scary, which makes it exciting, which makes it fun, which is just like the WWE, except that, you know, I haven't done it as much, so it's extra scary. And the thing is with in a WWE match, if something goes wrong and it sucks and you screw up, you got another guy out there that you can kind of lean on or figure things out. When you're doing stand-up and all eyes are on you, it is just on you. So if you deliver great, you win. You don't know anybody else except yourself. But when you bomb, everyone's staring at you, and it is on you. And that's the worst feeling in the world.
What are the chances that we'll get what are the chances we'll be able to see you on the big screen? Any talks yet about maybe you doing one of the movies?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple projects brought to me, and right now I love WWE. I love being a sports entertainer. I love doing what I do and sneaking in, you know, little pieces of stand-up here and there. So in the next year or so, I'll take those options into consideration, because I love any type of genre where you're entertaining, and I feel like even after all the bro kicks I've taken to the face, and you look this good, why ruin it, you know? Why not be part of the movies? Anytime you can cross over genres and bring over fans back to the WWE, I'm all for it.
You know, one of the things I've always noticed with you is you speak your mind. Does it sometimes when you do interviews like this or other interviews that you go, ooh, maybe I should have said that? And does it sometimes bring heat towards you from the WWE management?
Oftentimes it brings heat towards me from WWE management, but, no, I never say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm a grown up. Anything I say, I stand behind, and I wouldn't say anything that I wouldn't say to someone's face. But yes, I like to be candid about interviews because we have reality shows. We have the fourth wall broken. We have Twitter. We have everything. And when we're using this reality into the reality era of WWE, why not be more real in the interviews? I think it makes it that much more interesting if you can blur those lines, and I don't think anyone blurs them better.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, wrestling fans respect the hell out of you, is because you're willing to be candid. You're not willing to give these cookie cutter answers that seem like they're handed down from the WWE. You're Dolph Ziggler, and you're going to just say what you feel. And I think, you know, the fans definitely appreciate that. Let's talk about WrestleMania 30 for a second. Obviously got to take part once again. I can only imagine just watching on TV what it's actually like to be in that situation. But when you're surrounded by, you know, close to 80,000 people, I mean, can you even, like, you know, concentrate on anything? Like, what's going through your mind when you come out through those curtains?
Actually, you know what? It's not about concentration. It's about, like, you try and absorb it all. And I've done it quite a few times now, but it never changes. You walk out and you're like, okay, I'm going to have this match. And then you start, as you make your way out and just see 70,000 people and go, holy cow, this is my life. I'm about to perform in front of all these people. And it's mind blowing. And, it's almost so loud that it's quiet ringside and it's so eerie. That it's such a great time. And something like that Battle Royal, where I get to go out there and, I was out in the match with a few of my friends and just immediately went for Zack Ryder to punch him in the face first, which was great for me, good feeling to get him. And it's all about having fun and giving back. And if the crowd's having fun and you're having fun, everybody wins.
But what is it like backstage, though? What is it like in the dressing room? What is it like when all the guys are getting together, getting prepared? I mean, some guys, I would assume some guys, it's, you know, it's a cup of tea, and then others could be in the washroom throwing up every 2 seconds before they go out there.
Everybody's different, and that's, you know, it's like any job, but it's also, yeah, you're about to be in front of millions of people and thousands of people live. I'm someone who notoriously is in my pants and shoes. I'm in my, you know, regular suit up to about 20 minutes before I'm supposed to be out there. And then I throw all my stuff on and, you know, get ready and get the zone. But I like to spend the day, you know, trying to figure out in my head psychologically where I'm going to be, what I'm going to need to do, what could possibly come up, and anything that I'll need to know. And that's why, you know, a lot of the younger guys come up to me and ask me for advice and different things going on, because I not only enjoy performing, I love the aspect of the psychology behind it. I love the stories. I love trying to tell a story every time we're in the ring, which is basically the business of being a sports entertainer.
You know, I think a lot of people would be curious to find out kind of what's an average day, if that's even a possible phrase to use for, you know, somebody that does what you do for a living. But can you kind of take us through a 24-hour day with us? I mean, aside from, you know, today where you're doing all this media, but just a typical day where, you know, you're going to be coming out Monday Night Raw and getting ready for a show.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have live events in different cities. So Friday, theoretically, at 5 a.m., I would leave Phoenix and fly into wherever I was going and get in there by noon or 2 p.m., find some food, find a gym, get to the arena, find out what you're doing, wrestle on that show, finish the show, watch the main event, which was probably me anyway, then shower up, hop in your car, drive a couple hundred miles to the next city, check into a hotel, fall asleep, wake up, work out, do it all again. Now, this is all just getting, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just to get to Monday. Monday, we come to TV. We spend most of the day there on Monday and Tuesday for Raw and SmackDown and main event. And we get there anywhere from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., spend the entire day there, go live at 8 Eastern, do the entire show till 11:15 or so, talk about what, you know, figure out what you liked and what you didn't like, shower up, and then go do it again on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, fly home, enjoy Thursday, and then back on the road either Thursday night or Friday morning.
That's wild. That's absolutely
nonstop, but it's a blast when you get out there to perform for the fans and you forget about all that stuff.
You know, one of the I was going to ask you about, we'll probably get to it, the Ultimate Warrior, but I got to ask you, though, going back to WrestleMania, the Undertaker, the streak ending, were you surprised by that? I mean, did anybody have any word that this was going to happen?
I was just as surprised as anybody. I almost laughed when it happened, because I just assumed that that streak was going to go on forever. And it's crazy that it happened that way. But, you know, someone like Brock Lesnar, he's legit. He's beat champions. He's been champion. And, it was a crazy thing, and most importantly, it got everyone talking on different social media outlets and different television channels, you know, talking about how big of a deal that streak was and how big WrestleMania is.
Do you think this is the last we've seen of The Undertaker?
I feel like it is, but I think I said that almost every year. And, so seeing him do what he's done, which is unprecedented, it'll never happen again. And everything he's done for the business is amazing. And anytime, like, to have that institution where once a year you wrestled a match and it was such a draw still to this day is mind-blowing. And if he had another one in him, we'd all come back and sit there with our mouths open watching the entire thing.
What were your thoughts, though, the passing of the Ultimate Warrior? I mean, big surprise for all of us.
Honestly, it was, of course, it was a big surprise. And I guess the silver lining on that cloud was that weekend, me and several other superstars who really looked up to Ultimate Warrior, who had never, we'd never seen him in person, got a chance to tell him how much he meant to us childhood-wise. And so hopefully, you know, he was thinking about that. I'm so glad we all got a chance. Like, everybody in the WWE, it was just such a cool thing to have him back and have him inducted in the Hall of Fame. And so I guess, you know, if you can find a positive, it would be that we all got to tell him how great he was.
Who were some of the other guys that you kind of looked up to when you were young, you know, a youngin' growing up watching wrestling and dreaming of one day stepping into the squared circle?
At a really young age, I was a big Ric Flair fan. I liked his suit, his hair, his sunglasses, and my uncle would show me beta tapes. And before you're, you know, grown-ups are supposed to like Ric Flair. And when you're in the business for a long time and you understand what he's done, then you're supposed to like him. At 10 years old, I was styling and profiling, and I wanted to get a pair of sunglasses, and I found out how good he was at a much earlier age, so I've been studying him for years.
Okay, now, anybody for a top turnbuckle knows I am the biggest Ric Flair fan. I know everything and anything about him. I've always said that you always reminded me of that type of Flair, and to be honest with you, I'm actually waiting when you drop the t-shirts and stuff and you bring out your own robes. Like, will this or could this ever happen?
You never know. And honestly, and everyone, like, speaking of, like, the Undertaker, who every couple of years, you know, became a little bit different, whether it was like that biker Undertaker and back to the, you know, the ministry type Undertaker. See, you need to be able to adapt it in this business. And trust me, I've thought about the robes and blow drying my hair before. And but it's all about being yourself. So if I can take some aspects from Ric Flair about how good he was, that ring psychology, the leader that he was, and of the Four Horsemen and things like that, and apply them to a modern day Dolph Ziggler, then everybody wins.
You know, it's funny you're talking about, you know, applying you know, other people's aspects to yourself. I'm curious. I mean, you look at guys like John Cena, and from what we see on TV, I mean, it's hard to say, but it seems like that is the real John Cena. How much of Dolph Ziggler is the real Dolph Ziggler?
I don't know, maybe half.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, making it your own and being a character. And I'm someone who I would love to be myself. But right now that's not the character that Dolph Ziggler is. And slowly but surely, through app interviews and social media, and every once in a while grabbing the mic for a second or two, I've been able to show a couple flashes of the real Dolph Ziggler and what he could be. So hopefully down the line, we'll get a full version of that.
I'm telling you, man, get those robes. I'm dying for this. Get the robes. But just curious, though, because we've been at Top Turnbuckle talking about this a lot, Sting, his future. Do you know, I mean, you're an insider, do you know anything that's going on with that? Is there a chance that he could be part of the WWE, could be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and could there be a chance that Dolph Ziggler versus Sting could happen?
How am I an insider, by the way?
You work there.
No, yeah, I know. Technically, I do work here. I haven't seen him at the water cooler. If that's what you're asking. No, I mean, obviously, it's a possibility, and that's one of the few things. Someone like me who's seen it all and is not bitter, but just it's jaded, and you've seen every match you can possibly see, and like, what? How can we be surprised next? How great would it be to see Sting show up? I think it'd be amazing. I just don't know, you know, if it would be for the Hall of Fame. I don't know what it would be for, and if I got a chance to get in the ring with him, that would be so cool. He's another one who, you know, when you're talking about Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, another childhood hero was Sting for sure, and to see him, one of the people who never was with WWE. And if that were to be true, I think it'd be amazing. So hopefully they get it together.
You always hear Dolph, people talk about, you know, just getting better at whatever they do. You know, you talked about obviously doing the stand-up. I imagine that helps you when you're doing promos, and obviously your in-ring work is fantastic. But, you know, what would you like to see yourself improve on over the next, you know, few months or over the next year or so?
I don't know. What should I improve on?
Told you, man. The robes. Get the robes.
Okay. Besides a costume. We got the really important stuff out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with you, but
what would you like to see me improve on?
You know what I would love to see you improve on, and this is not, we're not talking physical here, is just the fact that, as we keep saying over and over again, we want to see you more in title matches. I don't know how they can do this. I don't know what can be changed up, but we really feel that you deserve to be in the title matches because you've got so much talent. You're one of the few wrestlers. I mean, I think people don't realize just how strong you are. The fact that you can fly through the air, the fact you can ground wrestle, I think it's a travesty. The fact that you're not in the title picture of any title, I think that's the biggest thing that needs to be improved on.
I feel like if this is a job interview and the interviewer asked me like what my faults were and I disguised them all as like the good things that I do, I feel like you would have been hired. But you know what? Honestly, I don't know what besides, yeah, that's a booking aspect, which is really out of my hands. But the only way I feel like I could improve is that I haven't already would be maybe to be taller or maybe if I was a little bit less outspoken, it'd be a lot easier to trust me and maybe hand me the mic every once in a while. So it's kind of a catch-22 because I don't really know that being safe is the way to go.
Just a couple minutes left, I guess. Then let's talk about tonight, Dolph. What can we expect from you this evening at Ricoh Coliseum?
First and foremost, Toronto's a great town for wrestling, and I was lucky enough to work with Edge in the main event here a couple times. And I've told this a bunch of times to my friends. We fought it, you know, into the crowd. He was taking a hockey stick and shooting frozen waffles at me. That's the kind of fun we can have here. So all of your favorite WWE superstars. It's a blast for the whole family. It's fun. You can bring grandpa, grandma, the kids, you name it. It's a blast for everybody. We enjoy doing it. And this city is such a great place for it. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and obviously got a huge fan base here rooting you on tonight, including us, Rudy and myself. Thanks so much for doing this, Dolph. Appreciate talking to us today.
You got it, man. Take it easy.